Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We have Peter King, who will be jumping on board with us via Skype in about 15 minutes. This is a day where the Cardinals are hiring Steve Wilks as their new head coach. So the Cardinals are done in the coaching market. Steve Wilks comes in. Why should you care about this? Beyond, it's just another head coaching hire. It's interesting that Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim decide to go with a defensive person, in this case, in Steve Wilks, rather than what we've seen in the past when there was Ken Wisenhunt and of course, Bruce Arians. So the Cardinals are going to go this direction. And I believe, and I'll talk to Peter about this, I believe because there is such a strong nucleus on the defensive side of the football, starting with Chandler Jones, with Patrick Peterson. Chandler Jones did most of the wreckage last year, though, when it came to getting after the quarterback, and Steve Wilks is known for having a very aggressive defense. If you're looking at the offensive coordinator side, and this is all fluid, it can all change. If Darrell Bevell does come here, formerly at Seattle, they're going to find a coordinator. My question is, what are they going to do in the way of a quarterback? And not just one quarterback, two quarterbacks. It's getting to the point where a roster overhaul is needed on the offensive side of the football. You know about David Johnson, and you know about Larry Fitzgerald. At least you believe you know about Larry Fitzgerald. I'm of the opinion he's coming back. Larry's next public appearance, unless he shows up today at the facility, which doesn't seem Larry Fitzgerald like. Larry, next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, is playing golf out at the Waste Management Open in the Pro-Am. And so at that event, it may just be Larry smiling and nodding and saying, I am here to play golf. Or maybe Larry saying, no, I'm going to be back next year. Or I just haven't decided as of yet. But my gut tells me that Larry Fitzgerald comes back. What does he think about the hire of Steve Wilks? I think it's more along the lines of what does he think about the offensive coordinator and what does he think about the quarterback? I'm not in a rush to get an answer from Larry Fitzgerald on all this. It's the 23rd day of January. There's plenty of time. I need to know, though, probably by, I'd say, the middle of February. You know, last week of February, thereabouts. You get to the combine, you have the new calendar starting in the league. It would be nice if Larry stepped up next week, just simply from a knowing standpoint. Publicly, I am sure behind the scenes, there's been conversation, dialogue. I'm sure the Cardinals have a pretty good idea what way he's going. But I can't imagine him walking away and that this is enough. So does the impact of Steve Wilks, does the hire of Steve Wilks impact the thinking of Larry Fitzgerald? I think it's a very fair question to ask. But on the surface, it's the defensive guy coming in here. A lot of the stuff I got yesterday was, Brad, he only has 1 year of experience of being a coordinator, and I don't care. Are you a leader? A head coach in this day and age in the National Football League, if he doesn't have good coordinators, he's going to blow. That's just how it is. So if he doesn't have good coordinators, is James Betcher going to say, I got passed over, I don't want to be here? And again, all this stuff is fluid. You can go a lot of different directions on the day of a coaching hire and say, well, this might happen and this may happen and this guy could be the guy. I still think there's going to be a ton of movement at the NFL side of things after college football is done with letter of intent day in 2 weeks. I've been told there's several assistant coaches that are going to move on to the NFL, but they have given their word to stay with their colleges through the end of recruiting. So you're going to see more guys jump out of college into the NFL. One of them may even be right here in our own state. Let's leave it at that. So I don't dislike this hire. I don't sit here and say, eh. I don't have a feel one way or the other on this one outside of I like an aggressive defense. I like a defense that I do believe has some good parts. And the fact that he interviewed at Tennessee and Indianapolis and didn't get the job doesn't bother me. It's got to be the right fit. It doesn't bother me that the Cardinals were the last ones standing. They're the last ones standing when they took Bruce Arians. So, you know, what is the big deal on that? So the press conference is later today, and we'll talk with Peter here in a few minutes about this hire. A four-year contract. In what direction are they going to go? This is the lead story of the day. There's some other stuff that's of interest to me. I actually found myself going out last night. I'm being water polo dad, the Uber driver for a 13-year-old. That's part of my life daily goal is to be the Uber driver for a 13-year-old to sporting events. Last night it was water polo in Mesa. I had to watch the Suns game. I want to work and talk about the Suns with you guys. I want to do my thing. So I end up at a little sports bar by the pool. I walk in, there's TVs everywhere. Not one of them is on the Suns against Milwaukee. Not one of them. And there's probably, I don't know, 24 TVs. Have you guys been in this space before? Sports bar. I'm going to be the guy that walks in. I'm going to watch my game. It's not on anywhere. I have to find somebody. I have to tell them. And then they say, well, what channel is it on? They don't even know. And the Coyotes aren't on either. They don't even know. But I got a lot of Australian Open. Somebody, if you guys own a sports restaurant, know what's going on in sports. This is my own little rant this morning. So they finally found a couple of TVs and they put on the Suns against the Bucks. I wanted to see Giannis play for Milwaukee. He didn't. I wanted to see Jason Kidd on the sidelines. I didn't because he got fired earlier in the day. And the Suns found a way to lose again, this time to Milwaukee by 4, and they've lost 4 of their last 5. So I did watch that. I think it's interesting what's going on in the NBA right now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Since Christmas Day, the Cavaliers are 3-9. Why does this matter to you in Phoenix? Because the center of the problem, reportedly, is Kevin Love. Kevin Love, not working hard, doesn't have his teammates, full trust. There's more to this story that I'll get to later on in the show. So Kevin Love, of course, has been linked to the Phoenix Suns more than a few times. I'm just sitting here saying that when there is unrest and there is unhappiness and you have a team that is scuffling, especially a team that has an alpha male like LeBron James, who at any point could say, get him out of here. You have to have the discussion here in Phoenix for, like, I don't know, probably the third or fourth time that Kevin Love's name has been brought up. And every time that Kevin Love's name has been brought up, I'm the one that says, go get him. I'm watching the Suns last night, and they do have some nice pieces. They don't have enough nice pieces, and they don't have that veteran presence. And Kevin Love is not a superstar. He's a really good player. But if there's smoke, then there's fire. Why not go down that path? Because the idea of sticking with the timeline is just silly. It goes from 5 years to 6 years to 7 years to 8 years. I'm not saying you give up the farm, but I am saying that if you're looking at the Suns and trying to attract a big piece, why not go down that path and see if it's going to cost you a bag of rocks, and that's about it if they want to get rid of him. Because quite honestly, guys, I've seen enough of Marquise Chris to say he can jump really high and he's going to foul out and he's going to complain at officials. That I've seen enough. I've seen enough of Dragan Bender to say he's a nice player. I don't think he's going to blossom here to be the next Dirk as some would like him to be. And for those of you that say, let's be patient, how much time can you waste? How many more losing seasons can you have? So I'm just saying to go explore this at this point. I'm not saying you pull the trigger. But if there's something going on with Kevin Love, I would get involved in that. And the other thing that caught my eye this morning, then we'll step aside for Peter. Tonight in college basketball, I have seen only highlights of Trae Young. I've not seen Trae Young play a full game. Might have seen Trae play for a minute or so just along the way. But I have to see Trae Young tonight. If you've not seen Trae Young, from everything everybody's telling me, this is the next Steph Curry. I can see it in highlights, but I have to watch how hard a kid plays. Tonight, Oklahoma is ranked 12th in the nation, and the Sooners are playing against Kansas. The game is at Oklahoma. Kansas is ranked 5th. Sometimes during the course of a college basketball season, you get glazed over by games and just say, okay, this is another game. No, tonight, you need to watch Kansas at Oklahoma. If you claim to be a college basketball fan, you claim to be an NBA fan, you want to see the riser in Trae Young, you need to watch this tonight. And so I'm going to check that out. And that will be, that's on my viewing tonight. U of A came in ranked 11th this week in college basketball. I'm going to talk about them a little bit later with their game against Colorado and why there's a hatred going on in that game, which will be interesting later this week. And ASU came in ranked 21st. They weren't as good as we thought when they were fourth. They're not as bad as 21. I think they're somewhere in between, but they've just got to find a way to get some of their bigs to play better than they have to this point of the season. They just have to. All right, Peter King via Skype is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's take a deeper dive now into Steve Wilks and what the Arizona Cardinals are getting, and also a look ahead at the Super Bowl and a pretty cool story that Peter King put up on his website today at the MMQB about social justice and three people with Cardinal ties. We'll get to that with Peter in a minute. But first, Peter King joins us via Skype from the MMQB at his home in New York City. All right.
Newton, by the way.
You're on a Fig Newton right now, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Fig Newton aside, or push it to the corner of your mouth, what do you make out of Steve Wilks as the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Peter?
Well, I think that people like Tyrann Mathieu probably should be happy. Not that, and look, every person I've spoken to about James Betcher said that he was an extremely well-liked, well-respected coordinator of that defense. And I have not talked to Steve Keim, so I don't know, you know, the whole story of what happened and why Wilks was picked or anything like that. But Steve Wilks likes to send extra people. And look, aside basically from Chandler Jones last year, I looked this up the other day because somebody was talking about how dominant, relatively speaking, on their defense that Chandler Jones was. I mean, Chandler Jones had 17 sacks. The rest of the team had 20. So, in essence, what you're saying is that the rest of the team averaged about 1.25 sacks a game, and that's not good enough. But be that as it may, I think one of the things that you hear, and I've had two conversations in my life with Steve Wilks, extremely impressive person, a really smart person, a unifier. And look, Bruce Arians was a unifier also in a different way. So I think people on the team are really going to like him a lot. And in my opinion, I think it's a very positive hire. And again, I'm very, very bullish on James Betcher. So I'm not sitting here and saying he's better than James Betcher. I'm just sitting here saying I have very, very positive feelings about Wilks. And I know from being around Carolina quite a bit in the last 3 or 4 years, they were very bullish on Steve Wilks.
Okay, the last time that Michael Bidwell made a hire and Steve Keim, they went with Bruce Arians, before that Ken Wisenhunt. So they've gone offense the last couple of times. This time they go defense. On the surface, I look at that and say it's because the defense here has much more parts in place to make an immediate impact than the offense does. This hire makes sense from that standpoint. Do you buy into that theory?
You know, when I first saw this, like after I heard that Vrabel got the Tennessee job, I'm going to tell you the first thought that went through my mind. It's that, okay, this is the second coaching hire in a row for the Cardinals, that they were the last team standing.
Right.
Remember how the year that Arians got the job 5 years ago, there were 8 openings that year. And the Cardinals were the last team standing and picked Arians, who was the reigning coach of the year. He's the only interim coach in NFL history, and I'm sure in sports history, who's won coach of the year. So I basically looked at this and said, I like to be in the position where I have the field and I can hire whoever I want. So they're in a position right now where they have the field. They can hire whoever they want. And in my opinion, it's just my opinion.
Sure.
You know, I think this is a good hire for them. And now all eyes will be on two things. You know, who's going to run the offense and who are they going to draft to be the quarterback of the long-term future. And I guess a third thing, just confirming that, you know, after he thinks about it and everything, I mean, no matter what Larry Fitzgerald says in the summer, in the fall, in the winter, whatever, I want to see him come in for the first day of training camp,
Right.
Because he's at the point in his life where he should have all the time he wants to make this decision. And I believe he's coming back. I think everybody believes he's coming back. But again, I want to see him come in the first day of training camp.
Peter King with us, the Monday Morning Quarterback on the Super Bowl. Looking at it from your perspective, Philadelphia, New England, can the Eagles limit the number of offensive possessions by the Patriots, the Gronk injury? You can break down 100 different ways, but I want to know what Peter King thinks about this matchup.
I would have probably thought New England, I don't want to say comfortably, but I would have probably definitely picked New England before I saw the game on Sunday, and I still probably will pick New England. But, you know, Brad, the Patriots have played in 7 Super Bowls in the Belichick-Brady era, and not a single Super Bowl has been decided by more than 6 points.
Mm.
So they're all close. And when I saw this thing about the line is 6 or 5.5 or whatever, I'm no gambling man, but I also have a healthy respect for history. And I would not bet on the Patriots -5.5 or 6, that's for sure. Just look at history. But I'll just make one point about this. Here's the reason why I was so impressed with the Eagles the other day. You know, against Atlanta, the Eagles basically used a very, very short field for their offense. You know, they weren't going to give the ball to Nick Foles and ask him to throw vertically very much. Well, the other day, he made 2 huge throws way downfield. Long touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey, where he got way behind a good secondary, which I think just didn't believe in Nick Foles' ability to throw downfield. And secondly, the great throw to the left pylon, the perfect throw, long throw from Foles to Torrey Smith for a touchdown. So whereas I formerly would have thought, hey, look, the Patriots don't need to really respect the vertical throw, I think now the Patriots really have to look out for the vertical throw. And that means they've now got to defend the whole field. That's going to be hard for them. Not that I don't think they can do it, but it makes preparing for this game a lot different. I think that, but, you know, I also think that when you look at this game and you look at Tom Brady, doesn't it always seem that these games seem 70 minutes long? The Patriots games, it always seems that Brady has enough time.
Right.
Somehow, some way, he's way behind. Oh, don't worry, they got enough time. And they always seem to have enough time. And so, you know, their last 3 playoff games, they've come from 25-7 and 10 behind to win. And, you know, I probably will pick the Patriots because I just, you know, I'm like everybody else. I look at them and I say, what game can't they win?
Right. No. Before I let you go, Peter, you wrote in MMQB today, and people should check this out, about social justice in the NFL. And you and I could do social justice, I'm sure, for a long, long period of time. But in a couple of moments, there are 3 Arizona Cardinals tied to this, in Michael Bidwell, Anquan Boldin, and Aeneas Williams. Just an overview of what this is. If people want to check it out, they can read more over at the MMQB.
Well, Brad, I talked to Anquan Boldin and Roger Goodell yesterday about this. Basically, the NFL has invested money for the first time in causes that are near and dear to players' hearts and to inner cities that the NFL has for a long time ignored. Now, you can say, like I say, because this is what I believe, they probably are doing this to try to very, very strongly encourage players to stand for the national anthem.
Yep.
And I do think at the end of the day, this is a very big reason about why the NFL is doing this. But whatever the reason is, they've invested $90 million over the next 7 years to allow this players' coalition to work for social justice causes, particularly in the African American community. Roger Goodell has already been working on this with Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks, but this is the thing that right now I believe Anquan Boldin will spend the rest of his life doing, trying to get more reasonable sentences for African American nonviolent drug offenders, things like that. And you got to applaud the NFL for making this effort and actually putting real money where their players' mouths are.
Good stuff there, Peter, and people can check that out over at themmqb.com. Thanks for the time, as always, Peter.
Thank you, Brad. Have a great week.
There's Peter King with us, the Monday morning quarterback on all things around the Cardinals and the hire of Steve Wilks, the Super Bowl. And again, check that article out on the social justice. Really interesting over at mmqb.com. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Peter King for being with us. It's always good to catch up with Peter on stuff. We're talking off the air. Did you guys notice the Fig Newtons? I love that. The Fig Newtons from Peter off. Jared, can you... I don't know if you can do this while we're doing the show. Can you just back up that interview to the opening shot of Peter chewing on Fig Newtons? We don't have to hear it. We don't rehearse this stuff, but when you have something like Peter King getting ready to talk about Steve Wilks, and out of the blue, he's chomping away. And I notice it. I don't know if you guys notice it. I noticed it when I looked up the monitor, like, okay, there's Peter. We don't see each other before this starts. So I look up. Do you think you're going to have it? Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love having Peter on, but man, oh, man, that was great. That was great. That's why I love doing this every day. So it's the little things. I got it. He's going to break down Steve Wilks, but I also like he's just being himself. But I was talking to Peter off the air there before we started the segment. So every year, the Waste Management Open is the same week as the Super Bowl. So Peter has never been to 16th hole. He's never been to this tournament. Now, he'll come out here for Super Bowls, but he's never been to this tournament. And so I was telling him, Fitz is going to be at 16 next week. Larry Fitzgerald's playing in the Pro-Am next week. Next Wednesday. And so it may be the first time that we hear Larry talk about his future is when he's got his golf attire on. He may just blow everybody off. But I have to believe next week that 16, with Larry Fitzgerald and fans not sure if he's coming back or not, will be a total party. And it always is anyways, but on Pro-Am Day, so I was telling Peter about it. He's like, really, the Waste Management Open? What a great name, Brad. Yeah, it's one of those deals. If you go to sporting events, if you're guys like myself, even Peter on a bigger level, because he's been to every Super Bowl probably in the last 30 years. I've been to a handful. I'm fine. I've done my share of Super Bowls, unless there's a local story. Unless the hometown heroes go, I'm not going. I don't have an interest in going. There's no need to go. Okay. But I was telling Peter, you got to do one of these life experiences and come to 16 and maybe walk around with Peter. The two of them, Fitz and Peter, went this past summer, met up actually over in England, in Scotland actually, and played the Old Course. And it was Peter following him around, and Peter did a special on it and kind of did a whole thing on Larry's interest in golf and how good he's getting. What will be fun next week at the Open with Fitz is not only will the enthusiasm be there, but if he hits a bad shot, they're going to boo his ass like nothing else. And it'll be fun. It'll just be in the Pro-Am. It's Fitz that I know of at this point. Fitz, they're sitting on a really big baseball name, like a really big baseball name. That's not local. Who's National League, who plays in the outfield, really big National League name that I hope commits. Arians is going to play, and you know that there'll be people that will love to see Bruce out on the course and having some fun now in his post-career trying to do this stuff, trying to do the media thing every day. There's also supposed to be Patrick Corbin, who I thought the Diamondbacks were going to trade at one point in time, but My understanding now is they believe that they're going to keep him for this year. Otherwise, they would not be putting him out there in a charity event like this. Patrick Peterson is going to be playing in the Pro-Am next week. If you're going to the Open, this long preamble on Fitz and Peter, into the Open next week. Tuesday is a great day to go. Yeah, they're open on Tuesday. Tuesday, there are players out there going through their work. And those that are savvy enough know that you can go follow someone around and there's no one out there. Tuesday's also the Special Olympics putting contest. And so guys like Fitz and Archie Bradley, and Archie's playing in the Pro-Am too. I should have mentioned Archie's name. Archie Bradley and several others are going to be at the putting green Tuesday morning, next Tuesday morning. If you're one of those that likes to see stars, if you're one of those that likes to collect autographs, if you're one of those that just likes to see these guys out of their element, then next Tuesday morning you need to be at the Open. It's pretty simple. This is one of those events that is totally below the radar that people don't pay attention to. They're all caught up in being seen at 16 on Thursday. That's it. Well, no. If you want to really see up close guys, sometimes, I remember Ricky Fowler a couple of years ago was in the putting contest, and he's just standing over the side, and there's like five fans are just hanging there talking to Ricky Fowler. And so go to that, and I think Fitz is going to be at that deal on Tuesday as well. We will be there. My buddy Tim Hovick from Santan Ford is putting that together and sponsoring it this year, so we'll be there at that. I'm going to take a break here. On the other side, the Oscars came out today, and we know that Goody is on Thursdays with us. But there's a couple of thoughts I have on that front that popped up today, like how is Tom Hanks left off and Meryl Streep is put on? And a few other things on my mind before we get out of here. The press conference for Steve Wilkes is at noon. Eric is there. Jordan is there. Haley is here. We're all working together on our daily show. Our television show airs tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. 16 airings this week on FSAZ. We appreciate their partnership. We appreciate those who support us. We are self-funded. Without the commercials you're about to see, we do not do this every day. So we appreciate those that believe in what we're doing. Back after this timeout. All right, a few other things before we get out of here. And again, if you're just joining us, press conference by the Arizona Cardinals coming up at noon with Steve Wilkes being announced as the new head coach. If you're also just jumping on here, we are live every day at 10 a.m. Arizona time. And you may be watching this over and over and over. We have people that download this in the afternoon, the evening. This converts over to a podcast. If you're watching us on AZ Central Sports, we're also live on our website, sports360az.com. We do partner with the Arizona Republic. Our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona tonight at 7 and 7:30, 16 airings this week, also tonight at 11 and 11:30. And it'll be a lot on Steve Wilkes on that front. Few other things, though, in this segment. So the Oscars came out today, and Tom Hanks was passed over in The Post. If you've not seen The Post, you know that I've been going on and on and on about it, that he should have been nominated for Best Actor, and he was not. The Post was nominated for Best Picture, and we'll talk with Goody about that on Thursday. How can you pass on Tom Hanks? That caught my eye. Bob Costas caught my eye today. So yesterday it comes out, NBC announces their lineup of who's going to be on the air for the Super Bowl. Who are the front-facing talent that you're going to see for the Super Bowl as they go through the day and the night and hour after hour after hour of everything imaginable around the Super Bowl? Bob Costas is not on there. Now, in November, I believe it was, I played for you a clip from Bob Costas speaking at an event at the University of Maryland. At that event, he publicly criticized pro football. He was on a panel at the University of Maryland. His quote was, "The reality is that this game destroys people's brains. Not everyone, but a substantial number. It's not a small number. It's a considerable number. It destroys their brains." So Costas has been doing the Super Bowl and hosting NFL all the way back to 1984. And he had a quote today on this about not being part of NFL this season as part of their coverage. It's going to be Dan Patrick and Liam McHugh that are handling the hosting duties this year. The network says Costas won't be in Minnesota for the game because Patrick and McHugh covered the NFL for the network all season. Costas said in a press release, quote, "It wouldn't be right for me to parachute in and do the Super Bowl." I do not believe this in any ounce of truth. I do not believe that this is truth. I believe that this is all PR spin to make everybody happy and feel good. When you take on the NFL wants to crush you. That's just how it is. I have seen it. And I believe totally that this was, we're not going to have this guy on the air if he's questioning our product and it destroys people's brains. Is Bob Costas overstating the case? No. The numbers don't lie. The players that I talk to that don't recall where they are or forget your name or have to have their address tucked into a pocket in their shirt, they do exist. The players that have to drink dinner out of a straw do exist. The players that can't function in society because they have anger issues, we see them. I do not put them on this show anymore. Some of them are people that you've seen through the years on this show, and I'll get notes, why don't you put this person on? And I'm not going to say names because I do not want to humiliate them. So he is only speaking what is truth. In a harsh way about it, in some people's minds, when you bow down and say this is the greatest sport ever, and it's a great sport. I'm not bashing the sport, but the side effect of the sport, it's out there. So he just said what's on his mind. If the league doesn't want him on the air because he doesn't walk, lock, stop with them, fine. I have no problem with that. If Costa says, I don't want to parachute in, it wouldn't be right. I don't buy that for a minute. This is big news. Big news. People do show up and people do parachute in. When the Olympics start next month, you're going to see people that have only been reading the news to you on morning shows parachute in to the Olympic Games. When it's a huge deal, you're going to have the biggest front-facing talent drop on in. So that caught my eye today. I think that's a bunch of BS that, it's just not right for me to be on there in the Super Bowl. The truth will never come out. Everybody's going to smile and nod and play nice and play ball. Alex Rodriguez is in the news cycle today. So A-Rod, you can call him A-Fraud, you can call him A-Roid, you can call him anything you want. All I'm going to say about him in his post-baseball career is, in my opinion, and some of you will not like this, and it's fine. It's fine. Some of you like Italian. Some of you like Greek. It's the way life is. I think A-Rod's really good on the air. I do. I find A-Rod to be really interesting. I find him to say things that are not obvious, that he will take a stand, that he will take a shot. So, you know, Alex Rodriguez is crossing over and doing something really interesting to me. A-Rod's going to be the third member of ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball. Sunday Night Baseball is no longer destination watching in television anymore. It's almost like Monday Night Football. It's no longer destination viewing. There's so much on during the week that it's like, I got to make sure I watch Sunday Night Baseball. The numbers don't lie. But he is going to be put alongside of Matt Vasgersian. Matt Vasgersian goes all the way back to his days with the Padres. I remember him and has been at the MLB Network. Matt will do fine as the play-by-play guy. I don't tune in to watch games based on who is announcing the games. Now, if they're annoying, if I'm annoying, you're not going to watch. It's just how it is doing a talk show. But in a broadcast of a game, very seldom do I find myself saying, I really wish this person would not be talking. I've just grown accustomed to tuning it out. I watch the game. I see the game. I do find guys like Tony Romo having me lean forward. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. I would say the same thing with Alex Rodriguez. Jessica Mendoza is part of this broadcast crew, and I don't dislike, I don't like, it's kind of eh. Alex Rodriguez will have me interested. I will probably stop there, and he's still going to do stuff with Fox. We're seeing more and more of this where people are crossing over and being on several networks all at the same time doing stuff. So I'm good with this. I think this is a good move. That's pretty much it for today. I mean, tonight I'm going to watch Oklahoma and Kansas. I don't know about you. There's nothing tonight in terms of the Suns. There's nothing tonight with the Coyotes. Our show is on, of course, at 7 and 7:30 and 11, 11:30 on the TV side on FSAZ. But that's all about Steve Wilks. All about Steve Wilks. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. We appreciate him day in and day out, the Iron Man. And Eric is at the Cardinals. Jordan's at the Cardinals. Haley's here getting her things done. Our cast of interns, too. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again for being with us. Enjoy your day.